Welcome back to Reflections. Your host, Jorge Gonzalez. My guest, Nestor Nesty Mendez, attorney, president of the Board of Trustees of the Fundación Tribunal Supremo de Puerto Rico, the Puerto Rico Supreme Court Foundation. We're talking about the conference, and of course, our chief keynote speaker, Juan Gustavo Corvalán. He's a the guru in terms of artificial intelligence in the legal profession, written tons of books. He had a three volume. He pulled out one,
and he created the first program, Prometeo, handling legal procedures in the world, really.
Yeah. So he had a problem with the visa from Argentina. He's a professor at the School of Law at the University of Buenos Aires, and he had a problem with the visa, and we had to have him via Zoom, and he handles Zoom incredibly well. He has videos, pictures, articles. I think it flowed much better, frankly, with the Zoom point of view. And because he's well-renowned but he's such a simple, humble person. He comes across so well, sweet, kind kind of person. And among the things that happened, a cat came,
He was talking,
and there was a cat,
funny.
On top of him, and he sort of had to get the cat out. And then in another segment, I don't know if it must have been his son or grandchild, but about an 8 or 9 year old, maybe between 9 and 11, I would say, year old, without shirtless, without a shirt, comes in and grabs him, and here he is in front of all these people, 500 people we had in the University of Puerto Rico. He was in three lecture halls. And probably people all over. So it brought him his human portion of it. But in terms of the. We had judges. We had a full.
We had almost 120 judges. We had the chief judge of the Puerto Rico Supreme Court. We have the chief judge of the Federal District Court, who was one of the panelists. We had the head of the administration of the courts in Puerto Rico and the assistant administrator. And then we had many, many lawyers. We had students. We had a lot of professors also. That was really the majority of the public there that we had, but it was really full. We had to cancel registrations a week ago because all of the programs were full. It was the Escuela de Derecho of the University of Puerto Rico, which is not a huge conference. It has many rooms, big, but the largest handles 200 people, and we had almost more than 400, almost 500 people registering. So it was and handling, because it was all day, so we had to handle coffee, pastries, lunch, and then cocktails afterwards.
They were all generous. I didn't get involved in the logistics, but we brought a professional to do it, and they did a great job. And in terms of a couple of things that pops to mind in your case that you learned in that particular particular experience.
I was in a couple of panels. The one about regulation policy, which is right now this is not regulated, and the messages were, number one, in the United States it's not going to be regulated. The current administration does not want to regulate artificial intelligence. In Europe, it's the other way around. They're regulating it. So what are we going to do here locally? And we don't know. There's a senator with one of the speakers talking about, but it's not really regulated. So that's part of the challenge. Mm-hmm. What kind of regulation is it going to be? What is it going to cover? It's up in the air. The other thing is in the other panel I went to, which is about evidence. How is it going to change the way I'm a litigator? You present evidence in a case, okay? So that's going to be a humongous challenge. But I guess one of the biggest challenges is going to be what we talked about a while back. Since artificial intelligence is so efficient in creating, let's say, fake things. How are you going to detect a forgery in the future? It's going to be so perfect. You're probably going to have an artificial intelligence machine telling you whether it's a forgery. Mm-hmm. Created by another intern. It's really a humongous challenge. The lawyers came out of that conference saying, I'm going to give up this profession. It's going to be too hard. I gave them a pep talk after that. We are going to adapt. We're going to evolve. And we're going to use artificial intelligence probably in the way we use people, experts nowadays, is the way I see it. Yeah. We're not going to disappear. We're just going to have to learn to use it the same way we've learned to use Zoom and the computer and everything.
Everything. I mean, you go back to the cellular phones and you know
BlackBerry
and you
and I go back when
the Palm.
None of that existed.
and I remember Paco Bruno. I remember in the executive committee meeting of our law firm, he says, and so they have BlackBerry and BlueBerry and RedBerry. laughing at it. And I'd say, you know, this is we're talking way back. And I said, this is critical stuff. You know, it's just another step.
It's just evolution. When my firm was founded 30 some years ago, BlackBerries came in. But the rest of my partners were using Pen Pilot. Remember Pen Pilot?
I was the
first one to use BlackBerry. Everyone started liking my BlackBerry better than the Pen Pilots. They wanted a BlackBerry. You know what happened? The IT guy said, that Nestis BlackBerry takes up a whole, all of the memory of this machine, right? So we're going to have to buy one machine to handle just the memory of each BlackBerry. So they decided not to because it was too expensive. Nowadays.
No, I'm just thinking going to sports, you know, now in tennis, there's no persons, you know, line calling the lines and they're just perfect. I mean, you know, if a millimeter, you know, and it's out and then it's just perfect in calling the lines. And I just... You know, in baseball, I don't understand why the balls and strikes aren't decided because you know you see that you see it on TV and that was a ball, it wasn't a strike, and you can, you know, anybody in the world would say that way. But you know, so that's going to change. The balls and strikes are going to be decided by a machine.
The tennis rackets. They've changed. So we'll adapt.
We'll adapt. So.
But it's going to be a lot of people are going to be out of jobs as happened in the past. You know, the people that used to criar caballo for the calesas.
In terms of what we have in store in terms of the foundation.
Yeah.
For the next year.
We had this artificial intelligence. The previous one was on judicial independence. We had one on various on civics. The next one is going to be how social, not just social media, the news media in general, cover judicial proceedings, cases.
Right.
Not just the decisions, but the whole process, you know. Is it fair? Does it affect due process? Are, let's say, in a criminal case, the defendants affected because a reporter comes in and asks him, are you guilty? You know, and that just was very simple. But the coverage in the past, court cases, except big ones, didn't make news. Nowadays, it's part of the news.
Right.
You know, it's and people maybe look at a novel as something a little bit although entertainment.
For example, now in the newspaper, the Lidia Echevarria and Luis Vigoró, that the trial.
Yes, that's a great example.
That was a novel, and you know whether she got it.
That's a great example.
So we're going to have that one, and then
that's going to be Ponce.
And Ponce, and we're working with the law schools and getting more involved with the students and more involved with the professors and the judges.
We are trying to do one program every year with every law school. The one on judicial independence was with the Interamericana. Inter-American Law School, the one on artificial intelligence was with the UPR, University of Puerto Rico. The next one on coverage, news coverage, is going to be in Ponce, in the Pontificia Católica. And then next year, we're going to do the same thing, different programs with each of the law schools. We also are planning an additional program with the Supreme Court, which is going to be sort of a follow-up to this one, because one of the big parts of this program was teaching the judges how to handle artificial intelligence. Right. And they were so interested because there's no particular rules. The court has no particular program they should use, which they shouldn't use, how they should use it, how do you protect the ethics, the confidentiality, how can you be efficient? And we're probably going to do another one next year geared to the judges on helping them handle artificial intelligence.
And we're going to do one on conflict with Inter, maybe, with the conflict resolution and...
We have, now that you mentioned that one, we haven't decided what program we're going to do next year for Interamericana.
Yeah,
so
like
since
that.
You're on the
I was recommending that.
Because Jorge has been on a trustee longer than I have. He's the secretary. So at our next board meeting, that can be one of the subjects
And Duel Quiñones is with the Inter. So anyway, I got involved, with the civics, which has to do with, respectful dialogue and the court system being part of it and with conflict resolution with the court system that can be improved and all. There was a great, there were two articles. I'm not going to get to the, let's just stick with the law and the courts, because I'm not going to get to Bad Bunny and I'm not going to get to longevity and stuff. So we only have about 3 minutes. So let's stick to the court system and all. But there was a great editorial by our opinion by Rafael Cox Alomar, Trump, Hamilton, y el Supremo Federal. And you've been involved with the U.S. Supreme Court historically.
Yes.
And basically what Cox Alomar stands, says there was a fear that the court would be too aggressive, and Hamilton saw it. It was, let's say, argued in the Federalist that it wouldn't, and that's this came out in the 30th of September. I didn't think it was that 30th of September, and basically what he describes is how the Supreme Court, something like 94% of the lower courts and the appeals court are stopping things that are happening at the federal level, administrative level. And then of those that go up to the Supreme Court, some 90% are being revoked. So it's a complete, revolution between the lower courts and the Supreme Court. It's a real strange ball game.
We have a constitutional system based on the balance of power, and the Congress right now, many people who don't like Trump don't see the Congress, putting a stop to many of the things he's doing that they don't like, and which is the other power, the court, particularly the Supreme Court. I was one of the ones who felt that the court would stop Trump from many of the things, basically expansion of the executive power, which is what he's doing. They haven't done it to the extent that I thought it was going to happen. I don't want to have my personal opinion involved, but I want to put a little bit of historical perspective. This has happened before. Mm-hmm. When F.D. Roosevelt came in, he had a Supreme Court that didn't allow any of the famous programs that he eventually established and made him a famous president.
Communist programs like Social Security.
And what did he do? He tried to pack the court. So, presidents always want to have their way.
It's part of the roller coaster of...
The difference with Trump, his style is not that elegant, to put it mildly. But they all do it.
Yeah.
And sometimes the courts have, stopped the president or balanced the power more than others. It's not happening to the extent that many people would expect. Is that a danger to the republic. Remember what Benjamin Franklin said when they created our constitutional system? We have created a republic if we can keep it.
Right.
And that's the challenge right now. I'm a believer in the system. I am in the Supreme Court Historical Society, which is the equivalent in the United States. And I can't say let's do away with the courts because they're doing their job now. I just hope that, you know, and why is that a power struggle between lower courts and higher courts? Because the lower courts were mainly appointed by Biden with a view, good or bad, you know, you can interpret it. And the court has a majority now. It didn't used to have a majority of a I don't like parties. I think different philosophical system. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily agree with many of the decisions on the philosophical system, particularly on the Second Amendment. I think it's not good. But anyway, I hope the system's going to take care of it, I think. The problem is what do we do in the meantime? There are going to be other elections. There are going to be the justices are going to pass away, and it's going to change. Whether it's going to become an imperial presidency, see, in the meantime, we'll see.
We'll see. Well, we've run out of time, and there was also a great article by Gustavo Vélez on artificial intelligence and the PMIS, the smaller. So we're a little bit behind in that regard. And so anyway, so we're pushing with the Puerto Rico Supreme Court Foundation to get up at the innovation and make sure that we're with systemic change, which was the title of the conference. And it went well. And thank you for joining me, Nestor. And,
That's my
Nestor.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Look forward to having you again in the future. We talked a little bit about sports and how it's important, and we talked about the necessity of balance in our system, Republican system of government. So let's hope it all works and for our well-being. So take care. We'll be back next week. Have a good if you had a Thursday, or have a good Friday if it's the repeat program. Take care.
Allegro WIPR 91.3 FM was proud to present Reflections, hosted by Jorge González, reflecting on events with our well-being in mind.